Resident Evil 2. It's considered to be one of the greatest video games of all time, and we happily covered the original game on the PlayStation 1 on a previous podcast episode. In it, we shared our love for the game, the frustrating experiences, and everything else about the game. And Capcom fortunately released Resident Evil 2 Remake to the masses, and people absolutely loved it. It exceeded everybody's expectations, including our own. And we got Keith here in the house who absolutely loves the Resident Evil franchise. So we're going to be talking about that in this very special edition of A Cast of the Past, where we not only talk about this game that is the remake, we're actually going to go back for a couple of minutes because Mr. Ryan McNulty from Boston, Massachusetts was not able to complete the original Resident Evil 2 game for our previous episode. So this is very much Ryan's redemption. And don't forget, folks, you can check out a brand new episode of the podcast each and every Sunday. And my name is Juan Velas. I am from San Juan, Puerto Rico. And thankfully, I was able to experience Leon A in the original PS1 game and Claire A in the remix. So in many different ways, I was able to get two complete experiences.
Still, when you unify that. Still haven't beaten a bee yet, hey?
No, man, I'm going to get to it eventually. Speak of the All devil. Right. From London, Ontario, Keith Posha. Keith, as a long time the devil of the RE franchise.
And he, well, he already has my soul, so he didn't have to steal anything.
Exactly. It's really not that difficult, man. But would you say that the remake met or succeeded, or exceeded, I should say, your expectations?
I would say, honestly, it blew them away, where I was expecting big things from this, but just finally getting to sit down with a controller and go through the entire thing, it is everything I wanted and more, and there is no hyperbole in that sentence. I am absolutely in love with the Resident Evil 2 remake.
Mr. McNulty, so I can't really ask you the same thing because, well, you've yet to play the remake because you're a scaredy cat. I'm a scaredy cat, but unlike you, I actually got a chance to play it, my friend, but with the original one, considering the fact that you were able to complete it in some capacity, how do you feel about that now?
About the remake?
About the original one.
Oh, about the original. I've definitely gained a larger appreciation for it. I think a lot of my feelings on the game have definitely evolved since our last episode. So more to come on that. I want to hear more about the remake from you guys because it's something I could definitely be playing down the line. So I'm really interested to hear your guys' take.
So Keith, bringing it over to you first, I think we kind of talked about this in the previous episode, which is our hype level for the remake. But as the days came closer, we didn't record the same week the game came out. It was a couple weeks beforehand. And you saw the positive reviews, you saw the positive receptions of the YouTube clips, the live streams. How excited were you? And then once you finally got your hands on it, what'd you think of it?
As far as excitement goes, before it came out, it was through the roof. When there was a trailer that came out a couple days before the game that maybe showed a little bit too much of the game, but just I went back to that thing that I used to do where I would go frame by frame, looking through the trailer, seeing what I could find. Like there was a few seconds of the Tyrant in that trailer, and I just lost my mind over it because it's like, oh god, that's what the Tyrant looks like. I was so excited, and then honestly, once I got my hands on the game, you know, the first night I checked it out, I played as much as I could before I fell asleep, but I decided, you know what, I'm gonna take my time with this. I'm going to enjoy this. This is something that doesn't happen that often anymore where I'm just like this excited about a video game, so I'm gonna milk it for all it's worth. I'm gonna take my time. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm in no rush to beat this, and that's why, like, I've only done Claire A, Leon B so far, and I'm just working my way through it. I'm in no rush to go back and do the other side or try the hunk stuff just because I see myself enjoying this for a very long time, and yeah, I just, oh, I love it so much, so much, so much.
I think I had a really similar experience when you said it. It's almost like going back in time. And for me, it's interesting because, as I mentioned in the previous one, I'm not this huge Resident Evil fan. Like, you and I played Resident Evil Outbreak, and I played 4. I played enough of them to be considered somebody that is knowledgeable and on a casual basis for Resident Evil. But the moment that I put it in, it's one of these games where usually whenever you get scared, because we can talk about the comparisons with the original one and this one, because I know that many people had their concerns, but the more that I got scared in this game, the more that I paused it. But yet I had that little thing that told you, just keep going. Just keep going, right? And that's how you know a game is able to pull you in, that despite the fact they're giving you the things that you hate. Like for me, I hate being scared in games. And it wasn't like this jump scare, which I really appreciated, because for the most part, it's the environment and how they combine the music and the sound design. And then obviously, once you get Mr. X added to the mix, and the fact that in contrast to the original game, you know, you had the excuse of the loading screen. So, you know, the zombies would not go from one screen to another. But
not
with this
anymore.
One, that's not an excuse. And man, I feel like we immediately need to get to the conversation, because then I want to get Ryan's feedback about Mr. X on the PS1 game. Keith, talk to me, buddy. Mr. X, did you go on a date? Where did you take him? How was that? Was there chemistry?
There was no chemistry, but my God, was there a lot of anxiety when it comes to Mr. X. If there is one emotion that the Resident Evil 2 remake is so good at creating, it's anxiety. And Mr. X is that incarnate where, oh God, it's everything about it, really. It's the sound design of when you know he's close, you can hear those footsteps, the thud, 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 and they slowly get louder as he comes near you and the music changes. And just the way that, because in Mr. X in the original one, I see it more now playing the remake, where it was more of a gimmick where, yes, it was this unstoppable force that was constantly following you, but you had tools to take care of Mr. X in the original, more so now. Like, I think the biggest difference between the old one and the new one is that you can sit in a room and you can fight Mr. X in the original Resident Evil. Like, he will go down at a point. In this new one, if you choose to fight him, it gives you 30 seconds, and then he's back up and on you again. So here's this unstoppable killing machine that you can shoot in the head, it doesn't even phase him. Like, they did such a good job of making him feel powerful, because bullets don't phase him. You can shoot him with like flame rounds, it doesn't stop. He creates this level of anxiety of like, I need to be on the move. And just his presence adds a whole new level of difficulty, because there to go through my playthrough of Claire A, like, I got to a point where I could clear hallways no problem. I had pretty much cleared the police station out before I got to the point where I encounter him. But all of a sudden, when you throw in this dynamic of this giant man in a trench coat and a hat chasing you, the rooms that became simple all of a sudden become extremely difficult.
And you always hear the sound. You always hear him, even if it's really far away, and just that enough makes you think, like, do I want to run? Do I really want to shoot and then have him show up? It's really difficult.
And if you take the time to line up your shots, you might end up in a situation where he clotheslines you in the back of the head because you spent too time being a little too methodical, and all of a sudden you're dead because you didn't keep track of Mr. X. It's such a cool thing that they added to the game. And it, like, all right, here's how much I hate Mr. X in this game. There is a point in Claire's storyline where he gets got real bad. Like, you have to deal with him a lot less in Claire's. I made a save file just so I could watch that whenever the hell I want, just to watch him die. It felt so good.
It got serious, Ryan. Wow.
Well, what I wanted to ask, because this is something I've been hearing from just kind of general feedback from the community on the game, is that I was hearing a lot of people, it got to a point where it was no longer like scary. It just got to a point that they kind of overplayed him to a degree that it just becomes frustrating and annoying. Did you guys feel that at all, or do you feel like they had a good balance?
I want to take that first as a casual approach, because maybe, you know, we do have a Discord channel, castofthepast.com/discord, and a real great friend of ours, I think he also wrote something, so remember to look that up, Mr. Poshik.
He already got it.
He was able to really overcome a lot of that, but admittedly so, Ryan, for me, it was frustrating because it felt like I was having to focus so much on Mr. X that I focused just a lot less on everything else. What I actually did to sort of overcome that is I tried to figure out the logistics of the speed, right? Because I was like, okay, so can he catch up to me if I'm just walking, if I'm just running? So I literally went to the main hall with the purpose of I'm just going to run around time and time again just to lose that fear from him, but also to be able to analyze him, to study him. And once I was able to do that, he was no longer that scary, but it's because I became desensitized because I was doing that. I was exploiting the system. But that initial point where you get him and you know, like, he can jump down a ladder. So if you actually climb down a ladder, it's worse because he'll get there faster as opposed to just walking. So it's those little things, but I can definitely see where that would be a huge turnoff. And I saw a lot of people, especially on Reddit threads, saying, this game is awesome. Mr. X showed up, and I haven't played anything else since.
Yep. That was my experience the first time I encountered him, that I just got so much anxiety that I needed to stop and just let it sit for a bit. But I can see where those people are coming from, because it is a... At the end of the day, he is a game mechanic, and you can exploit game mechanics. Like, you know, after a while, this is a room that he'll go in, or this is a room that he won't follow you through. And you can exploit that to your advantage, but it's still a degree of you need to be on your guard, because the second you slip, he's going to be right there waiting for you. So
X gonna give it to you.
X is gonna give it to you real good in this situation. So yes, it is exploitable, but in a way that you need to constantly have a plan. Like, okay, I'm in the library, he's gonna come for me. That means I'm gonna backtrack, I'm gonna go to the chief's room, and then let him de-aggro me, and then I'm gonna continue what I'm doing. Like, you always need to have a plan, and he's always a constant threat.
Ryan, I wanted to ask you, what was your take on Mr. X now? We talked about him on the previous episode, but now having some time to marinate, did you find your experience with him to be scary? Did you find it to be, it modified your gameplay experience? Like, you would feel you would play it differently? Where we are, of course, talking about the PS1 game for Ryan.
So, Mr. X in the PS1 game, a quick note. So I did end up completing Leon A and then was Claire B when I was dealing with Mr. X, because in the PS1 version, Mr. X is only in the B scenario.
Correct.
So I had some expectations based on what Keith said, but I had not looked at a playthrough or anything, so I didn't know when he was going to show up. So I was pretty surprised how early he shows up, because you see him kind of come through on like the helicopter drop or whatever pretty early on. But I knew based on what Keith said that you have the ability to run away. So I was hauling ass every single time running away. So I never knew when he was going to pop up. And I think they timed it very well. So it's completely just on like cues whenever you're completing a puzzle or when you're at a certain point in the game is when he'll show up. So I didn't know those times. So it definitely caught me off guard when he's all of a sudden bursting through a wall and I'm like, holy crap. So I'm just running for my life. But I thought they timed it very well, because you'll go through a very long stretch of the game where you don't see him. So it feels like, oh, you know, you never know when he's going to show up. They time it out. So it's not like, hey, oh, every three rooms I'm going to see him. No, like the stretches are... kind of timed in a way that it's very unexpected, because all of a sudden you'll start seeing him a lot more towards the end. So you never really know what to expect, and I thought it was very well done.
Going back to the Resident Evil 2 remake, there's a lot of things that, because they shifted the camera angle from that top-down perspective with the pre-rendered backgrounds, and now it's a third-person shooter over the shoulder, a lot of the environments had to change. So when you go back to the main hall in the original game, you had this lonely ladder. It was very different. But personally, I loved all the changes. And I at no point felt, ah, damn, this looked a little bit better in the original game. So dare I say, this is like the perfect example of if a company is thinking about doing a remake, not a remaster, not just making the old game look pretty, I think this is without a shadow of a doubt.
Look to this, because it is the gold standard, no question.
Like, I said it in a video, he's like, Final Fantasy VII, Square Enix, they got to look at this, man.
Yeah, they got to look at what they're doing, realize, oh, this is how to actually do it. And the game probably got delayed another 7 years because of it.
Yep.
in my opinion, it's because they weren't afraid to take liberties with the source material. Like, there are parts of the game that are just so different than the actual, the original Resident Evil, and they don't look back. Like, there are characters that are, like, you meet them hours later than you would in the remake, and they have a completely different style to them, a completely different setting. Like, the gun shop owner at the beginning of A, you only meet him in Leon's playthrough, and it is a very, very different atmosphere. Like, he turned into kind of, or from a comic relief type character, where in a bad translation, he would call Leon Babe sometimes. Like, he went from that character to somebody that you genuinely feel bad for, because he's left with a very, very unfortunate choice, because his daughter is about to turn into a zombie, and then when you leave him, it is a very kick you right in the feels moment. Like, just stuff like that, they weren't afraid to take liberties, just change the original source material in a way that benefits the game. Like, it is a, like, unarguably a better game because of it.
I think that's always going to be the biggest challenge. We've seen this a lot with movies, right? Because you get the books. Think of your Harry Potters. Almost any franchise series now at some point started with a book. But then when you take it to the big screen, it's a little difficult. But with this is one of the first times, I guess with the exception of movies now, they're getting a lot of remakes, where the original source material is a video game. But they're making another video game, but that goes back time and time again. Like, a couple of the rooms did change order, because it took me a second. Like, there was one room where there were two puzzle pieces, and it took me a while to realize, oh, this is that room from the original one. They were able to also expand, because going back to the chess pieces are always going to be part of this podcast, because that's where Ryan got stuck there with one of the villains. But with this one, they took it one step further, because, okay, so you can use those in the exact same way.
Really? I hated the chess pieces in this one, but it's 100% my fault, because I had the knowledge, like, okay, I only need the queen, the rook, the knight, and the bishop. So I went to the puzzle originally with just those ones and left the king behind and realized not till too late I needed the king. So I'm like, hey, all right, got to backtrack. Let's go get the king, because...
Okay, Ryan, in case you don't know, so could you explain... what the usual thing that you use them for is, and then what they added in the remake?
Yeah, so you know the chess puzzle from the original, where it's just get the four pieces and then plug them into the holes and you're good. Well, they expanded on it this time, where now there's the six chess pieces, the six pieces of a chessboard, your pawn, your knight, your king, your bishop, and your rook. And it's on, you have to actually place them in a specific order. So it gives you this puzzle, like, oh, the knight and the rook are on the same side, but the rook and the queen aren't next to each other, and the queen and the knight are, like, on opposite sides, like, they face each other. Like, you actually have to, like, they you have, it's a puzzle where you don't have to just place a thing into a thing and it clicks and
they added more complicated puzzles. I have seen some gameplay, so I did see that they changed some puzzles. Like, I did notice that where the unicorn medallion goes, I think there's three medallions now, if I'm not mistaken. So they definitely found opportunities to make the puzzles more complicated, because there wasn't really puzzles in Resident Evil for the most part.
No,
it was just kind of find a piece put it where it needs to go. Yeah.
Yeah. What I loved about that, because Keith actually did, that was part one. Part two is, so you can just use the chess pieces and open the doors, right? And you could just progress with the game and everything's fine. But something the game does a lot, and I loved and hated for it, is, okay, you could just keep going, or you could take those pieces out put them in somewhere else to unlock even more weapons, which will help a lot later in the game. And they do that so much and so excellently well done in the game, where I hate backtracking games. And I think I even mentioned that in the original review for the OG game. And I did a ton of backtracking. Like, I went to the main hall, like, almost towards the very end of the game, because I didn't have the submachine gun. And I was just thinking to myself, well, I could go back. And I actually did. Whereas usually, I would just completely leave that out there. So Keith,
they do a very smart thing in this game with the map that helps a lot with that, because if they color code the map in a way where if a room is red, that means there are still items for you to pick up there. And once you pick up everything in the room, it turns blue. So you can look at the map and be like, okay, there's three rooms here that still have items. I wonder what those items are. And you can go through it and go through the rooms one by one if you really want to, and make sure you grab everything and you have all the supplies you need.
So I wanted to ask as a closing portion for this part, Keith, after having played the first one a lot, like how many times would you say you played the original game on the PS1?
Oh,
just
Jesus.
Ballpark it.
Ballpark, I must have beaten scenarios at least 50 times in my life. Like Claire A or A and B, I must have beaten it at least 50 times.
So you're somebody that probably with your eyes closed, you could get pretty far. Yet here's a new game, but you're technically still in the same environment. What will be your biggest takeaway in this game as a remake, as a standalone game? You know, say hypothetically, this is the one Resident Evil 2 game for people to play, because that may be the case now. This may be the weird case where some people say, don't play the previous one, just play this one. What is the main selling point for you?
Honestly, I'm one of those people now that say, don't even bother with the original. Just play this RE2 remake because it's so good. But the main selling point for me kind of goes beyond the fact that it's a Resident Evil 2 remake. And if you are going to remake a classic game, this is how you do it going forward. Don't be afraid to take liberties with the source material. People don't want a shot-for-shot remake of something. If you think it's going to be better, make that change, because I honestly believe that is what makes this Resident Evil 2 remake so special. They weren't afraid to just take a few liberties, take a few chances, change things up, and it was for the better.
The one thing I'll say that's maybe not so great, and I want to get your guys' feedback as a whole, because Ryan could be tied into the conversation, bullet sponges. There's one thing that I was not fond of in this game, and I have a clip of this. I almost abhorred headshots. I played the PC version for context, so I was able to be very accurate with my gun. So when I was doing them headshots at like 4 feet away, I was giving a zombie headshots, and one shot, not down. Two shots, five shots, goes down, crawling. Two more shots at times. You're still alive. And some people say, okay, you know, they're zombies, they're supposed to last a little bit more. For me, that is by far maybe the only thing I really disliked about the game. Did you feel like that was something that lessened your experience, Keith?
Yeah, I do disagree with that, where the enemies could have been a little less bullet spongy. I should say that I played on the standard mode, but I definitely did run into situations like that where going through the first time, like, you know those G creatures that are in the sewers that spit poison at you? Basically, this game's version of the spiders, because they didn't do giant spiders, thank the Lord. I ran into a situation in my Claire playthrough where, like, okay, I'm just gonna dump acid rounds on these guys, because acid rounds are super powerful, it should kill them. I ended up wasting like four or five of them on one of them, and then on the next guy, I just used a handgun and took him out in two shots, because I hit him at the right spot. So it's kind of a thing where you need to figure out what weapon works with what thing, and the game in no way teaches you that, which I guess is kind of the same as the original Resident Evil 2, but I don't think it's in a positive way, and they're definitely a little too bullet spongy, especially those zombies. No zombie should take seven headshots. None.
No. But before we transition to Ryan's redemption, we do have that Discord comment from one Midnight Outlaw. So what did Midnight Outlaw, which I gotta applaud this man, because to say he played the living hell out of this game, like, look, my voice ran out halfway. Yeah, he damn near 100%ed it.
At I what think point he did 100%ed it. Didn't
yeah,
he get
I think
all
at this point he has 100%ed it.
At what point he wrote, I think I'm done with the game. It's like, really? Really? I wonder why.
It's I wish I'm both jealous and envious of him for having the time to sit down with it. But the statement he left us of his thought, His thoughts on the Resident Evil 2 remake is, it's an amazing game, first of all. The atmosphere is captured perfectly, faithful to the 1998 release without a doubt, and the acting is definitely top-notch, a huge step up from the old days of the campiness we used to have. That is the understatement of the year.
Yeah.
With two different storylines, it's hard to call the game anything short of wonderful. It's a carefully crafted masterpiece full of replayability, extra modes, and characters and secret unlocks. This is how you please both old fans and new. With solid controls and always looming threat and scarce resources, Resident Evil 2 Remake has raised the bar. I'd say that about covers it, keeping it brief. And yeah, I overall agree.
Yeah, that is excellent. Once again, people, that is acastofthepast.com/discord if you want to join the conversation. We always make sure to have a channel active about the different games that we're playing, so that way we can immediately get your feedback. And games like this are always going to have that divisive people, because you had the Crash remaster, the Spyro remaster, that they look great, but they're still the same game. Yet here's a completely different offering, and I think this one's getting a little bit more track and traction. So hopefully companies definitely keep it going here. Now, Mr. McNulty, do you have anything else to add as a viewer talking about the remake before we get to your redemption story?
Just as a viewer, it's definitely something I want to play down the line now that I have experienced Resident Evil 2. So it's on my list of games to play at some point. I'm not particularly in a rush as much as I've now found myself enjoying the PS1 version. I'm somebody who's patient enough. I might just wait till, you know, eventually the price goes down or there's some sort of sale. But I will check it out down the line.
Mm-hmm. So, plus, we didn't even touch on it, sorry. We'll never get off this topic, apparently, but they're adding more to this game in the way of free DLC. Like, right now, we're recording this on a Monday. The new DLC comes out this Friday. It's like this Ghost Survivors mode, which are like three different sub-stories and a roguelike mode that they're adding to the game, where it's like a run and you get different guns and there's different weapons and new enemies to the game, which terrifies me.
What about Tofu mode? Is that coming?
Tofu that's mode.
It's already in it.
There's Tofu mode, and there's a addition to that that I think is the most amazing thing on the planet that I will not ruin the surprise of if you beat Tofu mode.
Oh, man. Ooh. I'm going to go back. It's one of the games where I actually did not go back immediately because I wanted to let it marinate. I wanted to have this conversation, and then it's just
For me, beat the B scenario. For the love of all that is holy.
Is that a hashtag?
Yeah. Hashtag beat the B.
Okay, before, let's not elaborate on that anymore. Ryan, I wanted to get to you now because not only do we have Ryan's redemption, I was very surprised to somebody that you mentioned you're a very big fan of Silent Hill. I know we celebrated an anniversary of one of the games recently, and you went back to Resident Evil 2, the original one, with the intent to beat it, but I was surprised at just how into you got, because I thought you were just going to try to like just complete it. But the questions, the way you were writing it on the Discord, I'm like, wow, he got really hooked. So what kept your interest even after that Resident Evil 2 episode?
So I've always had a commitment that I want to beat every single game that we do for this show. So I felt that I did need to redeem myself and basically take it as far as I could go.
But I after guarantee I will make you regret that sentence one
probably
day.
Probably at some point.
Yeah.
So unless we do Battletoads, man, that's just not going to happen. But so what happened was Keith told me, hey, you should have just used the Magnum because it would have offed that G-Virus boss that I was stuck on. Sure enough, immediately after we recorded, that's what happened. So I was able to progress. And getting a little bit further into the game, they were a lot more generous with health items and stuff. So I was really able to make a comeback. I was very low health, very low ammo. But right after that stretch is when they start to kind of replenish you with a lot more resources. So it actually, I had a pretty, it wasn't that difficult for me to complete the rest of the game. I feel like before, sort of that place where you're getting the last of the four pieces of either Claire or Leon to, and then getting to that first boss, I feel like that might be the hardest stretch of the game in terms of resources.
I agree.
So once I got past that, it really wasn't I started to really enjoy getting through the rest of the game because I felt like, okay, I got just enough to get what I need to do. And eventually I was able to complete the A scenario. And I was like, you know what? Let's try B and see where it goes. And the fact that I thought it was super cool how you kind of start on the other side of the police station. You eventually find yourself in that little hut where you found the valve as Leon. Yeah. And then you make your way up the other side. And when I saw the helicopter crash, I was like, oh, you actually get to see how the helicopter crash happens. And that's where it kind of clicked, where you're seeing all the in-between pieces of the story on the other side, that it was very, very, like, I found it super fascinating. And I was enjoying kind of playing as a different character with the rocket launcher, with the different types of bullets that you can use. And it was also cool.
With the grenade launcher, yeah. You mean? Because the rocket launcher is a very different thing.
Yeah, the rocket launcher is something totally different. So I had a really fun time with it. It got super intense at the end when I didn't realize that after I beat Mr. X or whatever, Tyrant, mm-hmm. at that point.
How good is that Tyrant fight? Like, well, honestly,
I died the first time because I was like, this dude's locking on to you and like, mm-hmm. launching
top
at
you. Five boss fights of all
just,
time.
Do you need to hit him
I'm
at
concerned.
All until the rocket launcher, or do you just need to
yes.
survive?
Oh, you do need to do a certain amount of damage. I think if you let the time go down to like 2 minutes and 30 seconds or somewhere around there, the rocket launcher will just show up.
I think that might have been what happened to me because I felt like for a while I was just running and then all of a sudden the rocket launcher dropped. I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, I didn't take enough health with me. So I was like basically down to one hit, and then I go back to the train and I'm like, I realized I needed to open the gate and there's a bunch of zombies. So I had enough ammo and I killed everything, but
those
it was just
damn
super
naked
tense.
Zombies.
Yeah.
It was super tense. And then like the cutscene happens.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
like,
not done at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, I know. I was like, the cutscene happens. I'm like, oh my God, I'm home free. And then that other thing showed up. Still on one hit till I die. And I was somehow able to not take any hits and kill it and
beat
the game.
How did that feel?
Oh
Ryan?
My God. It felt amazing. And it was just super tense. And I was like, all right, this game's brilliant. I know why Keith loves it so much. And then I actually started to do Claire A after that because I was like, all right, now I want to see everything. I'm still working my way through that. You know, we got our game Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 coming up. So I had to start. I started playing that and I kind of fell off. But I do want to go back to it. I got about as far as like the sewers with Claire. And
okay.
That was something really cool where when I was in the sewers as Claire in the B scenario, I went to this kind of sewer area that's an offshoot of like a storage area near a safe house. And I was like, what the hell is the point of this room? It's just like a waterfall of like sewage. And then when I played through on Claire A, I realized that was a section where you play as Sherry that
yeah.
you don't have to do in the B scenario. So I was like, oh, this is like cool because if you play through, there's just certain things that you don't play through in the B scenario that you will do in the A scenario with that character. So just those little things and those interactions and how things play differently depending on A and B, I think is just really super cool.
I think the biggest takeaway with this is that surprisingly enough, notice how we're talking about one game and they get a lot of mileage out of it, whether
yeah,
it's the original one or
expertly
the remake.
Designed.
But that's not common. Think about games as a whole. Like, my first instinct after beating the remake and then after having played the original one is, look, I get it's probably difficult because you got to be able to write multiple stories and then have them intertwine but not interrupt each other. But how amazing would it be if more games just took advantage of the fact that I'm going to give you this character, then I'm going to give you this character, they're going to cross over every now and then, but you need to play multiple times to get the full story. But if you just do A and B, it's fine, but you have those alternative scenarios. I'm fascinated by the fact that, you know, we got the original Resident Evil, we got Resident Evil 2 1998, yet this is still not a common thing in video games. So my closing question to you guys is, do you think it should be, or is it best left served in bursts?
I think it's best left served in bursts as much as I enjoy it, because the Resident Evil 2 remake does an amazing job of crafting that A, B thing again, but if we saw it all the time, I think it would be less special. It's what makes one of my favorite games of all time special, so I'm okay with it just being in this way.
Yeah, I agree with Keith that it should be something that shouldn't be used all the time, and it really made sense with kind of this type of game, and especially due to the limitations of games at the time. Now you could have, you know, 50 different single player campaigns, all with their own unique areas and everything like that. But I think for the right games and used at the right times, it's definitely a great way to get a lot of mileage out of a single player game.
Yeah, so folks, everybody watching and listening, please let us know what you thought about the Resident Evil 2 remake. And I guess a bonus question is, if you're watching or listening and that was your first iteration of RE2, how tempted are you to actually go back and play the original one? Because I haven't seen too many threads about that, and I'd be really curious about that. Having seen this high definition one and going back to tank controls, is that something you're even remotely interested in? So please send us an email at castofthepast@gmail.com. Even Keith is a big fan, is going, so maybe a lot of you collectively just went, at the same time.
I love the tank controls now. Like I said, it's like a Silent Hill game I never played. I feel like I'm more likely to go to Resident Evil 3 than I am to play the remake right now.
I hope you play RE3. That's a whole other conversation.
I want Ryan to play the GameCube, or I guess it's on PS4 now and stuff like that.
It's
the remake
of the first one.
It's on
everything at this point. Yeah. Jesus, it's probably on my phone.
It's on a ColecoVision.
Exactly. I should play that one too.
That would be awesome, but don't be afraid to recommend other future video game episodes for us to do. This is the first time where we've done a follow-up episode that not only mixes up a previous game that we've covered, but also a future one. So if you guys think that we should definitely do that, we've been talking about that. I think it's a great companion piece, and that definitely is what the podcast is all about, is that discussion. And we had this here, so don't be afraid to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Don't be afraid to leave that 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform of choice. And if you want to go back down via a cache of the past memory lane, Mr. McNulty, what are some of the currently available episodes?
Well, we just want to highlight a couple of other video game episodes we've done. Of course, we've been talking about both the Resident Evil 2 remake and the original. You can go back and watch our full episode talking about the PS1 Resident Evil 2 remake, not remake, just PS1 Resident Evil 2 in depth. We also did episodes on Grand Theft Auto 3 and A Link to the Past. So those are all up on the YouTube channel right now and on your favorite podcast app if you want to go check those out.
Definitely, man. So with all that being said, that has been it for another exciting episode of A Cast
to the
Past.
I think
hope
we're
they never remake RE3. I hope they never remake RE3.
Oh, you know they're going to. You
I
know
hope they
going
never
to.
Remake RE3.
Depends
because
on how much
Nemesis,
money they make on this one.
Nemesis will
Dude.
Give me a heart attack in that game.
Oh my
God.
Goodness. Yes.